It's Mail It In Friday.
I'm called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Oh, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around putting it into boxes.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Musical chairs in here. Jonas was sitting in Noodle's spot, but Noodles is back. So Jonas had to move into the O-Dog spot because O-Dog's not here today.
What are these things that go over top of the...
I don't know. I think it's preventing us from popping.
No, I know, but what are they called? Do you know?
A mic protector.
Is that the official
name? I don't
know.
I don't
feel like we all need our own.
I bring in my own.
You do, eh?
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. I don't trust people.
I was given one when I first started in radio, and it got lost in the shuffle at the house. And I feel like I should bring in my own because by the end of the day, I come in here at 4 o'clock. You've had a lot of people breathing and coughing on this thing.
Are you passively, aggressively suggesting Jonas is a disgusting slob?
No, not at all.
Because he just sat there. He was spitting fire into that bad boy
for the first hour. No, I'm fine with it, but I just feel like there is, you think about it, hours and hours talked on this mic, and then this thing hasn't been run through a car wash once, or even through a dishwasher.
That thing,
there's shrapnel on this. I don't know if you see that.
That's Jonas.
That's not Jonas.
That's Jonas.
I don't think that's me.
This is like O-Dog and rice type of thing, like when O was eating out of the vat of rice the other day. That's some sort of shrapnel.
That doesn't sound like Jeff.
No, not at all.
If you screen that thing, it would come back with like malaria.
This has SARS on it for sure.
Yeah.
Like
it's infected
something is
by
off.
Something.
Yeah. Something is off
something.
By it. But, you know, Hunt's in here trying to look for an extra one for me or something.
Or get you a Lysol wipe.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, I don't even think a Lysol wipe would work with this thing. Like the wipe would melt on it.
We'll get you a new one. You were just calling the Ottawa-Colorado game.
Yeah.
You made it back all the way from Stockholm in between
on the Concorde
segments.
Made it back.
How about the anthem singer?
She has see-through dress on.
No bra.
Oh, yeah. Sans bra.
Like, we're talking full-blown action.
And
what were people saying about that?
Well, I think the people in the van, but our director and our producer in the back room, I think they did a very good job of like, whoa, let's move away from that one. Like, I believe in the behind the glass, you can change cameras or whatever. You don't need to see that. But she came walking out and it was like she was in Ibiza. And I know they're quite liberal over there.
I support that whole liberal lifestyle.
Very attractive lady comes out and did the anthems kind of in her own rendition of them. There was a little bit of...
You know who she reminds me of? Sue Ellen Mischke.
From Seinfeld. Just took her tarp off.
Oh, man. And I love it. Remember Jerry starts falling for her and he's like, I love this free swinging, wheeling, dealing
lifestyle.
Well, she
was Sue Ellen. But I don't know if it was trending on Twitter or not, but there was quite a stir. I had a few people send me notes on Twitter saying, hey, I just pretended like it didn't happen. Nothing to see here, folks, because you don't want to...
Listen, you're on TSN. It's the daytime.
Yeah,
we do concern ourselves with the kids. It is cable, technically. I don't think...
Right.
It's not like the CRTC can do anything to us, and I'm speaking on behalf of TSN. We didn't say, hey, go out there and wear
you're gonna
a see-through
sing the
shirt.
You're going to sing the anthem in a lingerie.
But over in Sweden, it's prime time, and I'll bet you that won't even pick up on the radar in Sweden.
No, no.
They don't care. They don't care about that kind of stuff over there. We're so uptight, and this will be a story over here. People in Ottawa. Yeah, I feel like it'll be a story.
Well, it was...
Because remember how everyone reacted to Janet Jackson?
Yeah.
Now, that was the Super Bowl, and much bigger audience.
Yeah, a bigger platform, and that was kind of like a staged, kind of aggressive move by Timberlake.
But this is stage two. If you're going out there with a see-through shirt, no bra, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, she didn't forget to wear a bra. She just chose not to wear one, I guess.
It was her choice.
Well, she's allowed. Pro-choice.
Is yes. That
what she chose her. She chose to wear no bra, and it happens.
She can do whatever she wants. So you guys didn't show it, though, on the telecast. You kind of realized.
Well, early on, I think they were like, hold on, what do we got here? Let's move away from that and open
our minds. I wonder
what
the players were thinking.
Yeah, there was, I think there was a reaction, but again, you didn't
you didn't go
to guys' face. You know, you just kind of, it was almost like the cameraman and the directors and the producer just went to like the wide shot, like way up in the rafters. Or let's flash Peter Forsberg again, who looks like he's got a bar play like you've never seen.
Oh, yeah. He's having a good time back in Sweden.
This guy is, he's a handsome gentleman to start off with. And he looks like he can still play.
Isn't he a GM there?
I think so. Something yeah, he's like involved. But he's great shape. You know, he's got a quality suit on. Like, it wasn't Eddie Belfour rolling out to drop the puck. It was,
yeah, but that's the Swedes. They all have the nice.
Yeah, they're all put together.
Suits.
Just slim fitting suits. Apparently, Alfie's dropping the puck tomorrow. Today it was Forsberg, Daniel Alfredson tomorrow. But a good crowd. The game had its.
Just a great anthem.
Well, you're watching it now, aren't you?
I'm watching it. And she's very good looking to begin with.
Exactly. Which
like
is...
this would have caused a big stir. Like so the boys if she comes on the out blue
to sing,
lines.
Yeah, so if she comes out to sing tonight.
Oh, it doesn't matter what ACC. Happens the rest of the game.
No?
Doesn't matter. The rest of the game is completely irrelevant. Imagine the O-Dog in the building with that going on.
Like... He would have his alumni coat. He would just walk down trying to big time.
Oh, yes. The alumni jacket would be out in full swing.
Come on up into the box here.
I'll take care of you.
Free access to chicken penne pasta.
Yes. No one has the access to the penne pesto chicken like I do.
Well, either
way. That would have been quite the
I thought it would be trending on Twitter, but I don't think it is.
Well, it's a daytime game. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not sure how many people are aware of it.
I got a lot of traffic actually on Twitter from people watching the game in the Ottawa area.
If it's your team. I mean, it's something different, right? That would be cool. The Leafs are playing that 2:00 game in December.
On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
Right?
That'll be cool.
Against Carolina
for some reason, but
yeah.
All right, let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. Have you seen this anthem singer in Sweden?
No, I've not.
Okay, so she came out to sing the anthem in a see-through shirt, no bra.
Well, that's drawing the crowd in.
That'll get you in your seat, right?
Yeah, no, I woke up from my nap. I'm like, oh, yeah, game's on. So I turned it on. It was halfway through the second period. Looks like I'm going to have to rewind it.
Yeah, you might have to circle back to the start of it.
Yeah, might want to PVR that game and keep it. Keep the PVR. Yeah, that's like if you're a player on the blue line, what's going through your mind? Like, seen that before?
Noodles, would you not just be like, that would be like wildfire through the team.
I would, yeah, guys would track it. Like, I when you go back to some of the, I mean, Ray, you've listened to over 1,000 anthems in your career, plus, you know, in junior and stuff. There were times where I can actually pinpoint where it wasn't your traditional anthem, where somebody really clanked it off. Or a mic fail. We had in the minors, I don't even know if I should say his name, but our tough guy's wife sang the anthem, and she was tone deaf.
That's unfortunate.
And we were all looking at each other like, how is this going to go over? Because she went out and just clanked off the anthem, and everyone's looking at each other like, I don't know if this, like, how are you going to walk into the wives' room after and be like, hey, great job out there? Like, I think she forgot some of the words. Like, it was just a gong show. But
well, I would say, Noodles, the worst one that I've been privy to was in the poor girl started the anthem, forgot the words, stopped, restarted, forgot the words, and then just turned around and walked right off the ice.
Just packed it in right there.
And so the 10 guys are standing on the ice, and we kind of looked at each other, and everyone kind of shrugged their shoulders and went, I guess we start now.
Game on.
it was not a very solid performance, but and then every once in a while you get some guys out there, to borrow your term, Noodles, they're hero guys. They think that 18,000 people came to see them sing the anthem, and you're like, move it along, pal, chop, chop here. Get to the end, let's drop the puck.
Yeah, remember last year, I think it was last year, the Lions Thanksgiving game, Aretha Franklin came out and sang God Bless America, I think it was, and it was like a 4.5 minute rendition.
Yeah, I don't care how good it is. Too long. Moving along.
Way too
Let's
long.
Go. Yeah.
Way too long.
Yeah. If I wanted to go to a concert, I'd go to a concert. I'm here for the game.
Let's get going. Well, drop the puck, kick the ball,
in the last
off.
What? In the last year, all the focus has been on the anthems, right? For, you know, Kaepernick and, mm-hmm. and whether people are going to, take a knee or raise a fist and stuff. The focus in Sweden was on this lady's shirt or lack of
maybe it was a protest
material. Maybe it was a protest.
In the time we're talking here, so yes, I can see what the uproar was about.
He's on Google.
That's the beauty of technology and stuff.
Before you would have had to somebody draw you a sketch pencil drawing or something or other. Now you can just go in the Googleator and find it out.
Yep.
Are you surprised that no one like stopped her? Like someone working there is like, you know, maybe
very liberal in Sweden.
Well, and apparently she's like a pop star over there. So is that the equivalent of Katy Perry walking out and you're not going to tell Katy Perry or who sang the Super Bowl last year? She was awesome.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
So she always comes out with costumes and all sorts of things. But you're not going to tell these people like, hey. You can't
Here's a
do
jersey.
That.
Throw
yeah,
it on.
Exactly. Like here, put this loose jersey on. Put this Landeskog jersey on, or whatever. You know, she's not going to do it.
No, it's true. Anyway, I'm sure that'll be buzzing around the ACC tonight.
This... Hey, you know it was. You know the game went. They did play it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just wondered if you knew.
Yeah. No, I don't care. I don't care about Ottawa, Colorado. Well, it doesn't make any difference to me.
A lot of it was your. It was a Senators game. I mean, Senators. Chipped away, they got it to extra time. Mark Stone, I thought, was brilliant in this game. He's such a good player. And that was his 11th goal, I think, for the...
It's 11.
That's 11. Like, he's
amazing. There's nobody better in the league that looks like more of an unmade bed than Mark Stone.
It's true.
Like, you see him, like, his helmet doesn't quite fit right. His gear always looks like it's a little bit disheveled. His hair is all over the place. And... I don't know. He always looks like to me like he got to the rink late,
yeah.
and he's got a and then he's a terrific player. Man, he's good. He's so good.
Yeah, he really is. And they I don't want to say they hung on because I thought they dominated kind of start to finish. But Colorado's got a couple nice players there. That Kerfoot, I think, is going to be a player.
Now his dad is one of the owners of the Whitecaps. In Vancouver. He's been a very successful guy. So he went to college. He was an undersized guy, and then he grew at college and looks like he's a good player. I thought that the new guy, Samuel Girard,
yeah.
He had the puck for 12 seconds before they scored in the second period. Like he's a dynamic-looking player. So that's one of the seven pieces that they got for Duchesne, and you know, maybe that one, maybe he could be the most prominent one. Who knows? But he sure looked good today.
Yeah, he did.
Leafs Bruins tonight. You're down at the rink. You're calling the game on TSN. Matthews won't play. I think we all presume he won't play tomorrow. I wouldn't even put him on the plane. Just tell him to stay home, and they don't play again until next Thursday. But two games, three games. I don't think the panic level is through the roof, but is there a point in this process where your radar is going to start going off? Like, wait a minute, what's going on with this kid?
Only if it gets to be like Carey Price a couple of years ago. Remember, he was day to day,
and then he was day to day
and then he was month to month. Like it was like, oh yeah, he's skating before practice, and oh, he's got his gear on today, and oh, he doesn't have it like. Pretty soon, like it starts to smell like something that's not right. If he's not playing next Thursday, that would be something for me because then you're not 3 or 4 days anymore. And whatever it is, if it's not responding, then you start to worry that it's something a little more than that. But as for right now, I wouldn't play him this weekend. If he's not good to play today, then I don't know. I don't. think you need to get into having him play tomorrow. It's pretty easy for me from the outside to say I look at the bigger picture first before trying to jam him into a game at the start of November.
I'm with you on that. And, you know, if it's a back or something, don't even get on the plane.
I was doing my Inspector Clouseau the other day trying to pull a couple shifts where I thought maybe he got nicked up. And I thought I made a mental note in watching that St. Louis game. It was at 6-4 with about 2 minutes left. He went over the blue line, and it's at the top of the screen. He circles back, and he takes a cross-check and then a little extra cross-check, and he actually swipes at the defender with his stick. I have it here on my phone. I think it was Edmondson, Joel Edmondson. But he didn't, long after that, he kind of went off. Like, he looked like he was in some pain. Now, it could have been a lot earlier in the game.
Well, he said
something aggravated.
He said it was a lingering injury.
So maybe something like that.
You know,
yeah, if it's lingering, then maybe we're talking groin. I don't even want to play like guess or whatever, but
they make
I
you just, and they don't say.
In my mind, I remember making a mental note saying that didn't look good for Matthews. Like, I know these guys are going to play hard on him, but if he had something, maybe that play helped contribute to it.
Well, Jonas, you just said, you know, like they don't tell you, so you have to guess. Heck, you guys ask every day, and Babcock tells you a story about the bus driver in Saskatchewan. I mean,
all he says now is day to day upper body. Like, what is that? Doesn't tell me literally anything.
Yeah.
And for him, day to day means, actually, maybe we should read into what he says. Day to day for him always means a week.
Yeah, isn't it week to 10 days or something like that? That's what he said last year. Here's another thing, though. How far does the NFL go? The NFL, they disclose, but they don't disclose exactly what it is.
They're pretty specific.
Like they'll say he's
knee injury,
throwing shoulder. They're pretty detailed. And I actually, one time we were in Montreal, I was doing a game, and I ran into Gary Bettman up by the gondola there, and I asked him about. It was right when they started coming in with upper and lower body, and I said, "Man, I feel like when I say that." That I don't know what the hell's going on. And I, you know, like, it makes me think the viewer goes, wow, these guys don't know anything. And he said, well, you know, I said, in the NFL, I know if the guy broke his big toe on his right foot. And he goes, yeah, they do that because of gambling. And I said, okay, well, maybe we should get into that then. Because, you know, because, I mean, the NFL's got some pretty decent revenues.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, of course, the fear is that you acknowledge something and it becomes a target for a player to, you know, I guess that's why, you know, not I guess, that's why they don't tell us.
But then how does it work in the NFL? How do they tell us what the injuries are and nobody...
But you only get 16 opportunities, I guess, in the NFL, right? Like to target that.
I would say, I mean, I'm with you, Jonas, that, like, what's the difference? It's not like that's a game of checkers they're playing.
Right.
Right? But I don't know, they do it and... You know, they announce which guys are, you know, unable to play, which guys are questionable, probable. And then you got the Patriots last year, all 16 weeks, Tom Brady was questionable. They just stuck him on the questionable list. So I don't know if there's any one way or not, but man, if I were coaching, I wouldn't be sharing too much about what's going on with my guys anyway.
I feel that a lot of that stems from, I mean, you played with Ulf Samuelsson. Like, we know players, and I don't know if that's what today's game is all about, but I could see a guy like Leo Komarov, who plays in that gray area, like he would target a weakness on a player. Kadri certainly would, you know, because those are the guys that play with that edge. But we played with 10 of those guys where if you knew it was like the left foot of a guy, somehow it got leaked. Guys would be hacking and whacking that guy's foot to no end. So I think that's kind
of
why, right?
Picture of that noodle, like guys, there'd be a scrum in front of the net, and one guy would have like a bad ankle.
Yeah,
and instead of a pushing and shoving, it would be like a wood chopper's ball.
I know. Like all I can think of is playing in Pittsburgh one night and Travis Green dropping his glove, and he had a sore hand. And Ulf Samuelsson skates over and slashes him on the bare hand while he's trying to pick up his glove. Like, it's that's why I say, like, with 82 games as opposed to 16, you're only seeing those guys, you know, once a week, and they get a chance to recover. Some guys may play four games in a week, and if all four teams know the guy's got a bad ankle, they're hacking him.
Also, you mentioned a stick. In the NFL,
yeah,
they don't
exactly.
have a stick.
You're right.
You know, you could make it look accidental on purpose and
yeah.
cross-check a guy and claim it's just a battle, but you're really going for the lower back.
Yeah, exactly.
When you know he's got a back problem.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
Different sports, different approaches.
But look, he's been out for a couple of games, right? Or this is a couple games here, and we get through the weekend, and then we can look at you know what it looks like on practice on Tuesday or Monday, rather. Because they got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. They'll probably practice Monday, take Tuesday off, practice Wednesday. And you know, I would think it would be some kind of schedule like that. So I would guess by Tuesday we got a pretty good idea whether he's going to play or not.
It seemed like the topic of discussion today and over the past couple of days when it comes to Mitch Marner has been his past first mentality and whether or not he's going to change that. Is it possible for him to change it? And he's saying the right things. Yeah, I want to shoot more. I got to shoot more. But he was saying that during training camp, and it hasn't happened. I mean, this is, I don't know if it's a mental block, but this is the way he's always played. He did this in junior. He tried to make the perfect play or tried to extend a passing play. And he's been doing it in the pros. And last year it worked for him. This year it hasn't worked to the same extent. But I'm not sure he's going to be able to get over that hurdle. Like, how all of a sudden is he just going to start shooting? Like, I'm not preparing myself for that.
No, I think it's the wrong way to be. You are what you are. They drafted him fourth because of his skills, because of his ability to make a play. They points. And he was able to open up seams because he skated with the puck and he held on to the puck. Now, you know, you get in your head, you want to shoot more. He doesn't have, you know, a shot that's going to beat goalies from 35 feet. So when you do shoot it from out there, and I think I can, you know, play along with this because I didn't have a great shot. I'd shoot it from 30 feet and I feel like I'm giving the puck away. Like, I'm not beating an NHL goalie from out there. Not if he can see it, and I don't think Marner will very often either. It's almost like you think yourself into a corner trying to improve, when really the answer is the simplicity of be who you are. When Marner plays, he skates, he's on the puck, he hunts it when he forechecks, when he gets it, he holds it, and the other guys get open, and he makes a play. He's got 4 goals in 39 games, if you go back to last year, counting the playoffs. Like, this is not just some little thing that's happened over the last 3 or 4 weeks. This has gone on for a pretty significant period of time. And now he's going to have to decide, am I going to change everything that I am and try and be something I'm not? Or am I going to play the way I know I can play because I just did it last year? Am I going to do that and be as effective as I can be? Because I look at him and I see, for the first time, I see indecision and uncertainty, as opposed to just, you know, he had last year, he had that, like that little kid joy to go play. It looked like you could see it every shift. Now he just, it looks like he's stressed. And we all that have played get stressed. And we all know the more stress you get, the worse it gets. Sometimes you get in a hole, and there's a great line, you should stop digging. When you want to get out of it, stop digging. And right now, he keeps digging, and the more he digs, the deeper he gets. I think he's got to just return his mindset to what he does best.
Leafs Bruins tonight, Hall of Fame night, always a great evening at the ACC. Puck drop at 7 on TSN4. We look forward to it. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again Monday.
Talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. We were talking about Marner in the previous hour, and I think Ray's point about confidence and indecisiveness has been evident game in, game out. It's been amplified as the games have gone on, because I thought he had a great first period against Minnie, and he faded. I found that he just faded, and I think he's done that a lot this year. He's had a really good start, and he hasn't gone on the board, or it hasn't gone his way, and then by the third period, you're like, where's the jump?
A lot of it comes with confidence, but the one thing I've noticed is, and this is through no fault of his, He had a great season last year, but now he's not surprising anybody. Like, if I'm doing my pre-scout, what do? I limit his time and space, and I'm physical. How many times have you seen him actually get whacked? Like, last year it felt like he was so slippery that you literally couldn't hit him. I don't know how many times I've seen defense close on him this year and finish him off, and he's not strong enough to out-battle those 50-50 battles because he's just not... You're going up against a 6'2", 210-pound defenseman. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose that battle a lot of times. I've noticed, and great start to your point, Brian. Like, he's had jump, he's had confidence, and maybe something doesn't go his way, and all of a sudden it just dribbles down, and then they start to hammer away, and then... He's not there in the third period.
He's not going through it. Yeah, he's guys, not like, through that wall.
Maybe what happened is, like, remember in the second half he didn't play as well? Like, all of a sudden he didn't look quite the same. Maybe in the off season he started to think to himself, like, what do I need to do better in my second year? And he said one of the things that he arrived at is he didn't want to be so predictable. He didn't want teams just to be focused on the fact that he could pass. So he said, you know, I'm going to try to shoot more. And maybe, like you were saying, Hayes, like, maybe that gets in your head a little bit. Now you're starting to, like, try to outthink the opposition before they outthink you. And suddenly you get yourself, like, tied up in knots.
It's a game of instinct. If you're overthinking it, you're toast.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to perform.
I just watched Matt Duchene think two periods of a game. Mm-hmm. And then in the third period, the instinct kind of took over. And he was like, oh, I remember how to play hockey.
And that's what Marner's got to get back to.
Yeah.
And he's more than capable of doing it. I believe he will. It's just a matter of time. But at this point... It's not going his way.
No, it's not.
Marcellus Wiley will join us in about 15 minutes. Richard Sherman done for the year. How does that affect the Seahawks going forward? And big night, a big night in Canadian basketball history. We'll tell you about that next. Marcellus Wiley will join us in about 10 minutes. Richard Sherman done for the year. Tore his Achilles last night. Seahawks got the win. They're in a battle with the Rams out in the NFC West. Whoever wins that division, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with going into the playoffs. But I think the other team's going to have a really good chance of being a wild card team as well, whether it's Seattle or L.A. Lots of season left to be played. But taking Sherman out of the mix, I mean, that's a big, big hit. So we'll see what Marcellus has to say about that in about 10 minutes. Big night tonight. Big night in the next hour or so, actually, on SportsCenter. R.J. Barrett is going to announce which college he's going to.
He's supposed to be good.
He's at this point touted to be the favorite to go first overall in 2019 in the NBA.
Yeah.
Amazingly, and this is something that I would have never thought we'd get to this, never thought growing up that there would be a Canadian that would go first overall in the NBA draft. It just wasn't ever on my radar. And there's been two already. In the past 6 or 7 years, and Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins kind of leading the charge. And I guess Wiggins is the go-to Canadian player right now and kind of the flag bearer of NBA players. Maybe Tristan Thompson because of the team he's on and he's been in NBA finals and he's won a ring. But I think Wiggins, because he went first overall in the hype going into college and his freshman year. But R.J. Barrett will make the announcement on SportsCenter on the next hour, and I think a lot of Canadians are going to track that. This is kind of Canada's the decision because they've never done this before where, like, there's been a hyped enough high school basketball player where people actually are really curious where he's going. Wiggins was to an extent, but he never did this on SportsCenter.
Well, I saw something, and this is sort of connected, about Vince Carter's jersey being retired. Why was that a topic of conversation recently?
That was asked last night. I read that piece. I think it was The Undefeated, I want to say. I think it might have been Mark Spears who caught up with him and was talking about legacy and talking about if he's ever thought of having jerseys retired. And Vince specifically said, yeah, I have, and I'd love to see it happen in Toronto because that's where it all started.
Should he?
It's
a spicy meatball, like, because the way he left, or no? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Then you look at the effect that he has on Canadian basketball.
Yeah, put it this way. Both of your reactions, the look on your face when I asked that question, actually answered my question.
Yeah.
I have changed my tune to an extent over the years with this. If you would have asked me 3 years ago, I'd say absolutely not. Never. The guy bailed on the team. He wanted out. Right. By the end, he admitted he quit on the team.
And then said he didn't.
But in the moment, he did. And, you know, remember, he said he wasn't going to dunk. Even the optics of him going to his graduation during game 7 of the second round is still preposterous. It's still absurd that that happened.
We've talked about that on the show.
We've talked about it many times. But, you know, I appreciate the impact he has had on this market in particular, and guys like Wiggins and Tristan Thompson, and he was the first superstar Raptor.
So you think time will ease that pain?
I'm in the minority. I wouldn't put him up first.
Okay.
I would not have him represent the first number being retired because of the way he went out.
So who would be first?
I would wait to see if DeMar DeRozan continues on this pace and keeps playing as a Raptor. And if he leaves, does he leave on amicable terms? If he retires a Raptor and ends up playing 15 years here, DeMar goes up first. DeMar, absolutely. No.
Not here long enough?
He was here for 7 years. You know, Bosch is a really good player, but not number retirement. You got to remember, too, DeMar, here's another thing. Vince won one playoff round, like 5-game series.
How many has DeMar won?
DeMar's won multiple. Like, they won
like literally
first round last year. They went to the Eastern Conference Final a couple of years ago. He's won like three.
Yeah.
Now, he hasn't performed great during the playoffs, but he's been a focal point of a team that's had the most success in franchise history.
Chose to be here, too.
Chose to be here.
Yeah.
So, for me, if I'm picking, I'm waiting. Yeah. Maybe after DeMar goes up and I've set the standard, then
if you wait,
circle back and put
here's
up Vince.
The thing. If you wait, let's say 10 years, maybe all of that is gone and you're like, Vince is the lock.
Well, I believe I'm in the minority. I think a lot of people have moved on and they look at him as, listen, he was a superstar. He was it was a blast to watch. He supplied me with some great memories watching him play.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are like, forget it. Who cares how he went out? I understand both sides. Put him up. And I think it's going to end up happening. I think Masai's going to end up doing it. When he retires, I think he'll come up and they'll retire 15. But if it's my decision, I'm not doing it first just because of the way he went out.
But if you're not going to
sets a horrible standard.
Then you'll do it second?
Maybe.
What's the difference?
Because it's the first number. It's the principle. It's the first number you've ever retired. I would rather check off every box if I'm setting a new standard. And I think at this point, DeMar has. And DeMar's on pace to do that.
I can see that.
Vince was a better player. Vince created more buzz, had a bigger impact on the city and the country, without question. But principle.
Yeah.
We're principled individuals.
That's where I was leaning.
Marcellus Wiley will join us on Richard Sherman getting injured. That farce that was the concussion protocol with Russell Wilson last night. Massive injuries to big-name players, man. It's
all
been a tough
long.
NFL season.
All
really
year
tough.
Long.
So we'll get into that with Marcellus. Paul Kariya coming up at 6:25. Friday 5-pack. Jonas is in here. Noodles. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Look at some of these names. Like massive NFL stars. Injured either prior to the season or early into the season. Add another name to the list last night. Richard Sherman, done, torn Achilles. Richard Sherman, Deshaun Watson, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, Odell Beckham Jr., Jason Peters, Joe Thomas, J.J. Watt, Eric Berry, David Johnson. Like superstar players. It's been a really just a bummer of a season. It's not been a fun season.
Well, and that's why, like, you look at the MVP race, who's the MVP? Usually that's like, it's usually cut and dry
halfway through the season.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Watson was making a case, to be honest. I think Aaron Rodgers clearly was making
a case.
But they're both out. It's like Brady, can Alex Smith stay hot? They're starting
Wentz.
To lose games. Carson Wentz. Let's bring in Marcellus Wiley joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. I mean, injuries happen all the time, but superstar injuries like this. Can you recall a season like this?
Yeah, I don't have the record of that, man. It does seem like the injuries are happening more so, and they're starting at the top in terms of talent and in terms of production. So football, man, it's a taxing sport, as we all know. And I don't know what's coming from this. Talking to a few doctors, they always mention how the specialized athlete has now materialized to the professional athlete that is now dealing with more over usage and wear and tear than in previous generations. They've been whispering that for years. And when you start seeing the best who obviously have more work and more hours than the average Joe, starting to fall down, starting to give credence to that argument.
Do you sense that with the new athlete, the modern day athlete, they're talking about wear and tear because these guys are doing so much specialized training from a younger age?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you talk about the AAU in basketball, a guy who realizes that he's going to be a quarterback, hopefully one day in the NFL. That work schedule is completely different than it used to be when I played at the youth level. You get a specialized coach in high school. So you go through your normal work day, then you go from class to practice with your team, and then drive by the local high school and see one of the top recruits. They're doing extra work with a specialized coach day in, day out, on top of their normal work schedule. Well, you start adding up those hours and that mileage, and sooner or later, the ligaments and tendons start to scream for help. And I think what we're starting to see, especially at the highest level, and the highest level is not just the pro ranks, it's the top dogs at the pro ranks. And you talk about a collision sport like football, you're seeing these guys really suffer from that wear and tear. No matter how much you protect them in practice and in game situations, it only takes an acute movement. It only takes one sudden movement, the body out of position because of fatigue, and then these are the results.
Thursday night football is here because of money. You know, CBS, NBC, they're willing to pay a lot of money, so the league's willing to continue it. And I don't think it's ever going to stop because I think the cash is going to continue to be there. But there are a lot of people starting to throw out the idea of extending the season and adding a second bye week. Why is that overly complicated? Why can't that happen?
Yeah, well, I think it can happen. I think it will happen, especially when you start seeing the cachet to the injuries like we've seen right now. When you say Richard Sherman goes out on primetime television, you start to make noise towards that cause. It needs to be collectively bargained, like everything. Everything of major significance that happens in the NFL, you have to sit down at the table and make concessions and make that happen because it's still a television product. It's still a business of football, and they're making a lot of money. Even though they can say that they really care about player safety, there's only one thing they care more about, which is making money. And that's where this is right now. They just have to figure out how to get to that bargaining table and to iron this out where both sides feel appeased. So I know Doug Baldwin went on record and said that Thursday night football should be illegal. Well, you know what? There are a lot of people who say that football should be illegal. People get hurt on Sundays. They get hurt on Thursdays, as we saw. They get hurt in practice. Deshaun Watson. They get hurt anywhere near the game of football. So it's going to be an interesting conversation next time they're at the table.
We're talking NFL with Marcellus Wiley. The Seahawks and the Rams battling it out in the NFC West. How do you think this Sherman injury will affect that race?
Yeah, I think it's over. I think it's the Rams' division to lose. Look, they already had the division lead before the Sherman injury. And it's crazy that if the playoffs started yesterday before the injury, the Seahawks, they're not in the playoffs. So that's their division to lose. They're the most balanced team probably in the NFL right now, if you really want to talk about how well they've been playing defense since October 1st. New defensive coordinator and Wade Phillips comes along. And since that point, October 1st, 17 points or fewer they've given up to opposing teams. We all know how prolific the offense is, the highest scoring offense in the NFL. So you add those two qualities up in a division that still has Arizona and San Francisco, who won't be a real test for them. And I think Seattle will feel the effect of no Sherman, now Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman, out of that secondary, on top of the fact that they can't run the ball consistently. They have offensive line issues and injuries. Russell Wilson can only drum it up in the dirt so often, so much. I think that Seattle is going to take a big hit from this, and the Rams actually make that run, and they win that division.
What was your reaction to the Russell Wilson concussion protocol just gong show last night? I mean, that was there's no way he went through the protocol. It's not humanly possible. He was in there for like 3 seconds.
Yeah, I can't blame Russell because, you know, in those moments, in that emotional context, when you're sitting there chomping at the bit, ready to go back out there, someone has to protect you from yourself. Someone has to be the enforcer in that moment because you can't ask the athlete to stop playing. He wants to go out there and get some more of that gravy and go out there and keep playing. So it was a failure by the doctors. It was a failure by the team staff, and the NFL is going to look into it. But if you guys remember when Richard Sherman got hurt and the doctor walked out there trying to assist Richard and then Richard pushed him, that medical staff, they need to toughen up, it looks like, right now, because it seems like that the players are in charge of their medical situations. Because when I saw Richard push the doctor, I said, oh, this is different. And then Russell just goes in a tent and just puts on a sideshow and really is not a part of it. Maybe that staff needs to toughen up. Maybe it's an anomaly, or league-wide they need to address this, because you can't have that happen.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think they've got to get to the medical staff. And last night what should have happened was the doctor comes out, flags the ref, gets the official over there and says, this guy didn't do it. Like, he didn't go through it. You can't go back on the field, because if you set that precedent, that's exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get players who just pop into the tent for 2 seconds, tell the doctor to take a lap, and then run back out on the field.
Exactly. We saw that last night. Couple of instances highlighted on primetime television, highlighted because it was two-star players. But let's just imagine how many times this happens on a weekly basis with guys who don't have the same cachet and we're not taking notice. So, yeah, you're right. It's time to address this publicly with the NFL and its players.
Talking NFL with Marcellus Wiley, we were throwing out some MVP names that have been injured. I mean, Rodgers was in the mix. He's done. Deshaun Watson was in the mix. He's done. Do you have a three-pack of players right now who you think are leading that charge?
Yeah, it's interesting. Carson Wentz has to be up there in terms of MVP, still healthy. Let's show some respect there. Quietly enough, and I don't know how you could be quiet in Dallas, but Dak Prescott has been playing great football, but a little unnoticed in part because of the Ezekiel Elliott suspension back and forth and the fact that the team is not the same as it was last year. But Dak Prescott has really had a rebound, great season, to couple with the great season he had last year. A third player, I mean, all of them are injured. It's insane. I really can't, though. You really start to stretch now. You start to say Antonio Brown, but who really cares? That's always greatness from Antonio Brown.
Right.
I think there's going to be a real cliff, a real leap from what we thought the MVP looked like. Tom Brady, obviously, but that's going back to the same well. I really can't name a name that's going to really blow your head off. Besides the obvious that I just stated.
Yeah, man, that seems to be the tale of the whole season, man. I mean, there isn't like a powerhouse team, and there isn't like one or two guys or even three or four or five that are just having such spectacular seasons that everyone's paying attention to it. It's just kind of been a down year, but they're lucky they've got a whole second half. I mean, we've got a lot of football left to determine where this whole season's going.
Yeah, the NFL always preaches parity. It's easy to say it, but it's tough to see it. Right now,
right,
we're seeing parity on the team level and at the top with the individual success. It's funny.
Great stuff, Marcellus. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, man.
All right. Take care, guys. Talk to you soon.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 0% plus receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. MapleToyota.com. Yeah, I'd have Wentz. I'd have Brady. Dak he's in the mix, man. He has to be in the mix. I think Cam Newton's starting to make more of a push. They're winning more games. He's leading that team in rushing yards, which should not be the case for a quarterback, especially a guy who has had his bell rung multiple times throughout his career. But if they have a charge in the second half and he gets going again, I think his name might pop up, but players are dropping like flies. Russell Wilson's another guy you got to consider.
If they're dropping like flies and you think that injuries are such an issue, like how can they be looking at extending the season with just another week of...
I would extend it, though, and give them each another bye.
Okay, so another bye. So you get one more week of rest, but right. You extend it by what, one game or two games?
No, you can keep it at 16, but instead of a 17-week season, it turns into an 18 or 19-week season.
So proper rest for... Yeah, I mean, that... I don't know what that's actually.
Why can't
a lot
you do
smarter
that?
Because
well, the NBA did something sort of like that where they took out a lot of these 4 and 5 nights, 3 and 4 nights. They tried to make the schedule better so
more balance.
Guys could actually be rested.
But you know what's good for that? Entertainment value. How many awful games have you ever watched in any sport where you're literally watching both teams play, and you're like, yeah, this is their sixth game in 9 nights. And, they, you know, in hockey, both teams are out to lunch and have no legs, and it's just a crappy game.
Well, look at the Leafs, 10 and 17 days, I think
it
is.
Well, down the stretch last year, what was it? Like, it was 6-10 or something.
Yeah, they played four in their last six nights, and they faded. And, like, they were up 2-0 on Columbus that final game of the year, and then they just fell asleep. They couldn't do it anymore.
Well, the legs fall off. Like, that's what happens. So you want better entertainment for your buck? Like, manage the schedule better. I mean, easier said than done.
Easier said than done, but with the NFL, though, it seems a lot easier. It's a short season anyway. Just extend it a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to want that. Every network's like, please, give me two more weeks of NFL season.
Of content, sure.
I'd love that. Paul Kariya coming up. He's going into the Hall of Fame. He'll join us at 6:25. We'll get to a Friday 5-pack. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.